Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne. The Texans still have over $20 million in cap space. They're like, Seth, still in like the top 10 of teams with some dry powder on the under the salary cap still. So I still got to think that there's maybe an extension coming, or you know, more free agent, maybe another free agent on the way who's pricier than dude number 53 on the roster right now, right?
I don't know who first mentioned this. Was it one of our listeners earlier this morning that mentioned Calais Campbell as a potential defensive lineman that they might want
to
sign?
No, we had someone bring up defensive tackle as a position of need, and Campbell, the list I have in the rundown, Campbell's the only defensive lineman on that list.
Oh.
So okay. That's why put him in bold there.
Here's the thing about Calais Campbell. I was blown away when I went back and watched him by the stuff he can still do. Because he made some plays against the Texans or the Falcons, I remember. Except I figured that he was going to be mostly a rotational player on the year. He played over 700 snaps this year, which is a lot these days for defensive linemen of any age. If you're like that's if you play 1,000. As a defensive lineman, that's a damn lot of snaps for a defensive lineman. For 700 for a 38-year-old is pretty good, and he played at a high level. I mean, he's still plugging away. I don't know if he still wants to play. I haven't looked into any statements he's made or anything. He might be waiting until training camp to make a decision. He doesn't play on the inside as much as he used to. But there's still plenty of examples of him wrecking shop at defensive tackle. He just played. He played mostly on the end for Atlanta last year. Man, I would be intrigued by that. As you pointed out earlier, just reportedly the ultimate locker room guy. He's got that gravelly old voice that commands respect. He's had the gravelly. He's kind of like Anthony Richardson's little brother. He's had that voice since he was a young man, but he's always sounded like a full-grown adult.
Yeah.
So by now, he's been treated like a full-grown adult since the time he was 16. He's a really good veteran voice to have in a locker room. So, between him and Danielle Hunter on the defensive line, mentoring a young Will Anderson. It's not like Will Anderson needs guidance off the field, but to mentor him as a defensive lineman, that could be really interesting.
Will Anderson in a defensive line room with Danielle Hunter, Denico Autry, and Calais Campbell. Like, can you, like, that's, it's hard to put together a better reasonable permutation of veterans in the same room for a young guy. And to your point, it's not even a young guy that really needs it all that much. Like, Will Anderson is already super mature for his age. But
technical advice.
That too. Yeah, here, Calais Campbell last season, at age 37, played all 17 games, started all 17 games, 6.5 sacks, 10 tackles for loss, 17 QB hits on the season for Calais Campbell. Can you imagine, Seth, on passing downs, a four-man front with from left to right, Will Anderson, Denico Autry, Calais Campbell, and Daniil Hunter getting after the passer. Like,
yeah, that would be really good.
You would
be
need,
a lot of fun.
You would not need to blitz very much with those four.
And Calais Campbell can play inside on first and second down. I don't know what you want to. He is the other part about him. Like, the first immediate thing is, wow, Eric Armstead's a big, rangy, 6'6", 295-pound guy. Like, that's Calais Campbell, except he's taller. He's like 6'7". I was wrong about one thing. Mm-hmm. I've misled people a little bit. Mm. I kind of had said, you know, between Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner, it seemed like San Francisco had a lot of success with these really tall, rangy, but lanky defensive tackles.
Yeah.
It's worth pointing out that, while that is true, they also did draft a couple guys who are more normal-sized defensive tackles that just didn't work out while D'Amico was there. And D'Amico wasn't there when they drafted DeForest Buckner. And when they drafted Eric Armstead, he was just a quality control guy.
Yeah.
But D'Amico has had and seen what those really long guys that can get their arms up in the air but that are lighter and can play on all three downs can do for a defense. So, and obviously they wanted Eric Armstead. Like, they tried to bring that body type in. Calais Campbell is what people hoped Eric Armstead would become. And you can probably get Eric Armstead for a boatload less than the Jaguars are playing. Or excuse me, you can get Calais Campbell for a boatload less than what the Jaguars are playing.
Oh, yeah. Campbell. Yeah. I mean, they gave Eric Armstead 3 years, $51 million. I mean, that's really good defensive tackle money. I would expect that Calais Campbell is at that 1 year, several million dollar stage. You know, like 1 year. Yeah. I don't know what he made last year in Atlanta, but like, you know, 1 year, $6 million, 1 year, $7 million. You know, 1 year, $5 million with some incentives and, you know, roster bonuses and things like that. So are we on this Calais Campbell train, Seth? Have you talked the collective of Payne and Pendergast into – are we endorsing Calais Campbell as a show here, as a free agent signing?
Give me one day on it.
Okay.
I got to go back and watch and see what his bad plays look like.
Okay.
You guys got to look at the bad play. You get too wild. I don't know if you've noticed, Sean, but every fan base in America – believes that their team has drafted seven starters. Because when you watch these highlights, there's nothing to there's no way in your mind you could believe that this guy shouldn't have gone in the first round.
Dude.
Probably in the top 10. Like, every single one of them. How did this guy not go in the top 10 of the entire draft?
That was me. As you know, I'm easily sold to. That was me watching the hype video that the Texans put out of the draft class. I don't know if you saw it. But like, they put out a hype video after the draft of like all nine draft picks, and they're on there making plays, and I'm like, dude, this Jamal Hill is a steal. Look at these plays he's making. I mean, there's like hip hop music underneath it, and there's like actual like simulated explosions as he's hitting people and things like that. It's like the least filmy film that you're ever gonna see. Like, it's complete highlight video set to music, finding the best stuff, but I'm watching it. I'm like, this Jamal Hill is a sleeper, man. I'm telling you. And why do you think that, Sean? These six tackles that he's made, he's nearly murdered six people on the field in these tackles right here. Yeah, so I'm all in, like, Jamal. And it was funny, too, because, like, it's certain positions are so much easier to find highlights of. There might have been a total of 6 seconds of Blake Fisher in this entire video that they did. 3.5-minute video, and there's Blake Fisher, like, walking out in the snow, like, arm in arm with Joe Alt and a few other linemen. He's not even making plays. He's walking in the snow.
It is, especially with, like, the pass rushers, it's like that with, Latu.
Yeah.
Latu did some really good things against really good competition as well. But like Coastal Carolina, he ate versus Coastal Carolina. I saw so many. I like the first 5 minutes of his highlight reel are him just destroying these poor bastards from Coastal Carolina with their entertaining coach.
Yeah.
Calais Campbell signed last year with the Falcons in late March.
Okay.
It was a 1 year, I believe, a $7 million deal. So
I would do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, in a heartbeat. 1 year, $7 million? I would do that.
I would do that, too. Any other positions you'd go shopping for with some of these veteran guys at this point? There's a lot of big names still out there, but they're, you know, Xavien Howard, who wants to be here, Stephon Gilmore at corner, Justin Simmons, Jamal Adams at safety. There's a handful of receivers out there. Anywhere else you'd be shopping at this point?
I would say, I think Justin Simmons still intrigues me at safety. Mm-hmm. Now, This is where, look, Jimmy Ward is aging and has gotten injured a lot, and that's a concern. It might be one of those situations where I know you'd be trading him out for another aging safety, but who has been healthier as of late, and I think more productive. Like, that is, he's not as far removed from his golden age or golden years as Jimmy Ward is. And like, there's still uncertainty about Jalen Petrie. Plus, I just don't know for sure exactly like how. I mean, Nick yesterday almost talked about Kalen Bullock like a developmental guy in some ways. Mm. So I don't know if they're putting him in chalk or on, you know, in pen on the depth chart right now.
Yeah,
Justin Simmons would intrigue me.
Yeah,
there's some guys on your list that you got here that I'm not all that interested in.
Yeah,
I'd say one of them is Michael Thomas from the Saints.
Yeah, admittedly, this was a cut and paste from that tweet that floated across my timeline.
Oh no,
I'm not.
I know this wasn't your power ranking.
Yeah. Just I'm not a Michael Thomas guy either at all.
Micah Hyde from the Bills. It seemed to me when I listened to comments from the Bills, I wanted to listen to Josh Allen talk about Stephon Diggs. So I watched Josh Allen's entire press conference, and I watched Brandon Bean,
yeah.
Their general manager, his press conference, and then Sean McDermott as well. Mm-hmm. I spent a whole couple hours on the Bills a couple weeks ago. Boy, they talk about Micah Hyde like he's, you know, he's the mayor and like a beloved mayor. And it's just a matter of like waiting for him to find out what he wants to do, because he's had injuries. He hasn't been quite the same guy as he had been before. So I don't know. Micah Hyde might be in one of those situations where it's Buffalo or nothing, like Buffalo or retirement. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it also made me feel like, wow, Micah Hyde sounds like a hell of a guy, but also I don't need him on my football team.
Yeah.
So good for him. But boy, this sounds like a eulogy more so than an appraisal of a football player.
So he's not the safety version of Calais Campbell for us here.
I don't think so.
You know, locker room guy. You know, bring him in. Yeah, because he's beat up. Micah Hyde for sure. There's an article in The Athletic that just dropped a couple minutes ago. The number one undrafted free agent for each of the 32 NFL teams. Know that, Seth, your one of your to do's for this afternoon is well grounded in it's going to be time well spent, according to this article, because the number one undrafted free agent, according to this article, is Feldarius Payne, defensive lineman, Virginia Tech.
Good.
Yeah, that's okay, you were going to go do a little film work on him. Here's what they say, just to lay the groundwork for what you're about to go watch today. A tweener in size, 6'2.5", 286, and relatively inexperienced, only two starts last year. Despite spending six seasons in college, Payne has the makings of a good story if he can stay healthy. Last year, he had 10 TFLs, four sacks, after missing the entire 2022 season while at Nebraska. He had two other years at Nebraska and 2 years in JUCO. So he's moved around a little bit.
Yeah.
Bounced around a little bit. So there you go. That's what you're set to go watch today with old Feldarius Payne. 713-572-4610 if you want to hit us on the text page. The Athletic also has some power rankings out here, and they have the Texans fifth. Seems like everybody's got the Texans somewhere between four and six. Are they overshooting on the Texans right now? Are expectations a little too high for the Houston Texans right now?
No, I think it's all on paper. And I mean, if you look at the teams that they're above them, right, or that the Texans are above, like, they're almost always mentioned somewhere in the same vicinity as Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think Green Bay is in that same boat. Although, you know, they both have promising young quarterbacks, both have a more talented roster than maybe you would have thought before the beginning of last season. So that makes sense. Dallas, so Houston being a couple spots above Dallas, I guess the thing I always wonder with Dallas is that they let some guys walk, and yet they were a hell of a regular season football team last year.
Yeah.
They just did not do anything to replace the guys who left or improve them. I mean, the replacement for your running back is the guy that you got rid of 2 years ago. Ezekiel Elliott, for those of you who didn't know, signed a short-term contract with the Dallas Cowboys.
He did.
So that guy doesn't seem like you're moving in the right direction. So I guess I think that's fair. I wonder where C.J. Stroud would be in relation to Dak Prescott on most people's QB power
above,
rankings.
Above. Above. Probably like the same tier, but with C.J. higher up that tier.
So then you go, like in this power poll, it's Houston 5, Green Bay 6, Dallas 7. Then you got Cleveland, Cincinnati, Buffalo. So Buffalo, better than the Texans this year, but Buffalo, kind of like the Cowboys, lost players but didn't do anything, couldn't do anything really to replace them, and then didn't have a first-round pick. Got a receiver that they feel good about, but I think it's very reasonable to expect them to take a step backwards. I think the Bills are planning. I feel like the Bills are all but admitting that they're taking a step backwards
this
year.
Soft reset kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Cleveland and Cincinnati would be the ones in there where you look at it and look at the regular seasons they had or the injury that the Bengals had with Burrow.
Yeah.
And wonder if I wouldn't have put Cleveland any higher. I wonder if Bengals fans are upset that they're ninth.
Yeah.
Are they being graded a little too harshly based on a team in a season in which they only had like a little more than half of the season with Joe Burrow?
This is the most aggressive I've seen Cleveland ranked. Is these in the power rankings just to piece them together for you guys? And I'll tell you the scariest thing about this for me when I look at any of these power rankings. Kansas City 1, San Fran 2, Detroit 3, Baltimore 4, then the Texans are at 5. God, that's crazy. What a year, man. Like, the Texans are at 5. Green Bay 6, Dallas 7, Cleveland 8, Cincinnati 9, Buffalo 10, as Seth just laid out. The scariest thing to me is there are none of these rankings that get put out. And I get it. These are just subjective opinions of people and whatnot. But it's grounded in what's happened this offseason and what happened last season. You can't find any rankings like this of any sort that stack rank the teams, whether it's via statistics or whether it's subjective opinion, where there's not another six teams in the top 10 that are on the Texans schedule. Like every single one of them has six more teams in the top 10 that are on the Texans schedule this year. You know, they're playing Kansas City at Kansas City. They're playing Detroit, they're playing Baltimore, they're playing in Green Bay, they're playing at Dallas, they're playing Buffalo. Like, it's going to be a fun season. It's going to be fun.
It'll be a fun season as long as they actually perform. That's the big thing. The rush, like, when you start putting it this way, Sean, then it does, like, despite all the excitement of the additions you made and everything, like, they got to figure out how to run the football. And that's where when the schedule comes out, that's what's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
Like if they open up with Baltimore and Cleveland and like some of the other teams that have ferocious defenses, that's where it'll be get really interesting really soon, because they're gonna, like, I know everybody wants, when they say let CJ cooks, they think that they need CJ needs to get out there and run nothing but spread all the time. This is one of the most aggressive downfield offenses in the league last year. And a lot of that was because they were able to set it up with the play action. Like, running the ball is part of letting CJ cook. That's how CJ was able to average over 7 yards per attempt and to be, like, one of the best deep ball throwers in the league. So they're going to run the ball. But if it's up against some of those better defenses, we'll learn real quick if they've improved enough in the run game.
Would you rather open with a marquee season opener that we can talk about with the weeks leading up to it and whatnot, where, you know, that's the opener is the one game that you're leading up to it.
Yeah.
Or would you rather open with a couple of cupcakes just so that the Texans can get their feet wet with all these new pieces that they have?
Cupcakes.
Yeah.
Whether it's getting their feet wet or not, because I know how it goes. If you start off the season with a poor record and then fight your way back and you're actually a good team by the end of the year, nobody cares. They just, like, the narrative's written by week 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then even, like, this, even the teams that come back, like, in roaring fashion, it's kind of like okay, well, we'll see when we get to the playoffs. I don't need that. I don't need that in my life. I need a hot start.
I do,
give
too.
Give me a hot start.
Yep, same. I want
to
win.
It's a hot start now. If it's a hot start versus, like, three of the best quarterbacks in the league,
that'd be beautiful.
Then we got something going.
They're gonna.
I guess I do want the best teams. I want the best teams on the schedule to be at the very beginning. Show.
You do? Okay. You just,
I do now. Now, because I realized I was being
five
soft.
Seconds.
I was being like, this sounds like somebody's afraid to play those teams.
A little bit.
I want them. I want their names. I want their phone numbers. I want pictures of their families. So I can threaten them,
yep,
and then I want to destroy their world.
Sean. I like it. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Nick Caserio was on with us yesterday. The most controversial, or maybe the most polarizing pick, was taking a tackle at 59, Blake Fisher. Nick explained the rationale, and he's got Got thoughts on some of the other rookies, too. He was pretty forthcoming with the Blake Fisher pick and one other pick, and we'll have that for you coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Pain and Pendergast.
All right, here was Nick Caserio yesterday. We were discussing the selection of Blake Fisher, tackle out of Notre Dame, with the 59th overall pick. A lot of folks wanted something other than a tackle there. I think there's some folks who are okay with the pick. Here was the rationale behind the Fisher pick.
When you look at kind of the middle of the second round to the bottom, then there was a little bit of a run on tackles. And we had gone into the draft, and I think we were hopeful that we were going to add a tackle to the group, a young tackle that we could add to the system, get into the program, provide us some depth behind Titus and LT, understanding that at some point, whoever that third tackle is or next tackle is, he may have to play a significant amount of snaps. So I would say that was a little bit of the rationale with the Fisher pick.
So they had injuries along the line last year. Best player on the board at the time, that really did feel like one of those things, Seth, when that pick went down. Of course, you were on the air at the time. I remember kind of looking down at my phone. I'm like, man, the positions I really wanted them to come out of the second round with have been kind of wiped out here at pick 59,
right?
You know,
that was there was a run on defensive tackles early on the round. There was a run on defensive backs right where the Texans were. And then they ended up getting, you know, the Bullock, the guy that they said that they wanted, but assumed would be in the third round, was back there. So, yeah, I think it was best player available. And like that, there was a run on offensive linemen over the next 10 picks. There were five or six offensive linemen taken over the next 10 or 12 picks or so. So I think that's probably, they looked at it and they thought, in combination with, like, I'm guessing, I have no choice but to believe that they're not all that high on Charlie Heck right now. You know, they had go out and get George Fant last year, and now they're drafting an offensive tackle in the second round. And when you say best player available, When a team makes its power rankings or its big board, they're incorporating that player's role into where he fits on the board.
Yep.
So it's not like they drafted Blake Fisher thinking like, yeah, he'll be behind Charlie Heck for a couple years and then play. They're It's best player available and more of a position of need for the Texans.
Well, and I guess my follow-up to that would be, okay, should you be using the 59th pick on somebody who your role you see is as a swing tackle? And I know that that'll be his role most likely this year. But there's got to be, when you're taking him in 59, some sort of view beyond 2024, right, of him, wouldn't you think?
Of like, Fisher?
Yeah, Fisher. Like that eventually.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, they want him to be an offensive tackle. Yeah, yeah.
Right. I guess that's
I don't think it necessarily means that you're going to I think without thinking too far down the road, I don't think they're thinking, okay, yeah, we're going to let Titus Howard go in 2 years or Laremy Tunsil.
Gotcha.
But it puts you in a position where for the next 3 years, at least 4 years, you don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
If that guy develops, and then maybe if he does develop really well, then yeah, you let one of those two guys go. So yeah, I guess. But I think to take it at face value, they want to have three good offensive tackles on the roster.
Yeah.
And like George Fant last year, they were able to get much, much cheaper than George Fant is getting this year.
Yep.
So they got a cost-controlled third offense. If it works out, they got a very cost-controlled third offensive tackle for the next 4 years.
Yeah, no, and that's kind of what you just said there is kind of what Nick was saying too. I was just, you know, I'm just kind of like thinking like, okay, do they have a long-term vision for him as well? I guess you got to get him in the building first.
Yeah, no, I think that's where like the whole three tackle dynamic is where they would say, look, we need to have three good offensive tackles. Right now, we don't feel like we do necessarily, so we're going to try to do that. If they did have, if they felt awesome about Charlie Heck, they wouldn't have taken Blake Fisher. Like they would have just, they maybe, unless they couldn't maneuver out or something.
Yeah, yep. Let's skip to Cade Stover. Here was Nick Caserio on how they arrived at a pick that he liked a lot, Nick Caserio. Tight end, Ohio State, Cade Stover.
I think as we got to that certain stage of the fourth round, there were some other teams, I would say, that were evaluating that position. You know, we thought there was a good shot that there were some tight ends, some teams that were looking at tight ends. So as we kind of kept moving there a little bit, so we moved up from 127 to 123. We did the trade with Philadelphia. So there was a little bit of jockeying that took place relative to that pick. But, you know, it was a player that I think we had a consensus on, both from a scouting standpoint and from a coaching staff standpoint, and understanding that there's some developmental aspects with this player. He's only played the position for 2 years, but his toughness, his mindset, his mentality, I would say fits our program very well, which is one of the reasons why, you know, we were happy to be able to add him to the team.
There's an article on a website called statsbomb.com that was really interesting that I've got pulled up here, Seth, and it takes players that were drafted at the top of their position in the draft and finds a day three or, you know, late day two or day three player that's super similar to them in terms of the spider chart and, you know, all the different advanced stats and whatnot. And you know how badly I wanted Brock Bowers from Georgia. You know, when the Texans were still in the first round at 23, I said, boy, my dream scenario, this is even after they signed Dalton Schultz back, I said, my dream scenario would be for Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia, who's a clear number one tight end in this draft, clear number one, ended up going to the Raiders. I want him to slip to about 18 or 19, and then Nick can, boom, make a move. And now you've got weapons, 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 weapons. The most similar tight end to Brock Bowers in this draft, according to the stat nerds and the spider chart people, is Cade Stover. Cade Stover, the most similar. Yeah, yeah. He's
based just on performance.
Performance
and
production.
Not on like the physical measurements.
And Here's what it says. Cade Stover is one of the it illustrates like how Brock Bowers is just like such a freak and was utilized in such a unique way in the Georgia offense that it's really hard to find someone to replicate that. But it says this about Stover. Stover is one of the tight ends who production-wise was the closest in comparison to Bowers in this draft. Stover has one of the best receiving maps of any tight end in the draft. You know, and that's, where's he catching the ball on the field? You know, how many, is he just a, you know, short pass guy? Is he a deep guy? So he's got a good chart for that. He had the highest catch rate over expected of all tight ends. How's that float your boat, nerd? 17.2%. 17.2% catch rate over expected in FBS last season. That was the highest. So he's making way more catches unexpectedly than other tight ends are. Like, wow, look at that catch by Cade Stover. He's not as shifty once he catches the ball or as big of a downfield threat as Brock Bowers, but Stover catches the ball well. He's also an effective run blocker with a, I can't wait to hear your reaction to this one, 5.3 yards per rush when he is the blocker at the point of attack, which is 0.8 yards more than Brock Bowers. Seth, do you buy into how the team does when Cade Stover is on the field at the point of attack, 5.3 yards per rush?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know. Why, I'm just curious, why did you think I was going to have
I know you were skeptical about him as a blocker at first. That's why.
Oh, we've talked about this multiple times. Yeah. I'm actually sold on him, and his blocking is way better than it had been advertised.
Yeah.
He is way better. I think that a lot of the perception about his blocking had to do with the fact that he was a project and it had to improve. I'm actually very optimistic about his blocking.
Yeah.
There's lots of examples of him doing it exactly the right way. He just needs to get more consistent with it. I don't like, he's not going to be Gronk or anything. That's good to hear. I don't know that when you start talking about guys at when you run to his side or whatever, I've just seen so many examples where those things don't really tell the whole story at all. So I don't use it, even though I'd love to use it as an example that, oh, he's actually an awesome blocker. Because part of the comp with Stover to Bowers that doesn't show up is just the effect of the offense and everything on those guys. Mm-hmm. How much were they a driver of the offense versus were they a recipient of the offense? And Stover was a little bit more of a recipient, but I very, very, very much like his upside.
Text message, the Fisher pick is good. It's not sexy. It's the accountant of picks, but it's necessary. That's kind of a slap in the face to accountants. There can be sexy accountants out there.
But they know that their job isn't sexy. They know they're just necessary.
That's true.
You know? Well, it depends. It depends.
I don't know, man. Tackle's a pretty important position. I mean, Laremy Tunsil does make $25 million a year. It's not sexy in that it's a position that doesn't get its hands on the football. In a perfect world.
Right.
But
did he say that taking a tackle isn't, or just the Fisher pick in general?
I'll read it again. It's not sexy. It's the accountant of picks, but it's necessary.
Yeah. But he was talking about offensive tackles or the Blake Fisher pick specifically?
The Fisher. Well, again, that's a good
All
question.
He says
I don't
is
know.
It's
yeah.
not sexy.
Yeah. He okay. just says, yeah, I'm reading you the verb. The Fisher pick is good. It's not sexy. It's the accountant of picks, but it's necessary.
Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't read the Fisher pick at the first. So the Fisher pick. It's not about the position as much. It's that, okay, you're backing a guy. You're picking a guy who's going to be a backup.
Yeah.
So it's not a sexy pick.
Yep.
Yeah. An offensive tackle being picked can be sexy if it's taken in the first round or what have you. But yeah, is it the Texans equivalent of the Penix pick?
Okay. I mean, obviously, now you get into the whole thing about quarterback and how they brought that quarterback in versus
This is a less important, this is a less important quarterback, a less important position, but still an important one. But it's back in the second round, and it's two. You've already got two guys that are really high paid.
It's in the same shopping mall as the Cousins Penix thing. In that, you paid both those guys last year.
Right.
You paid Laremy $25 million a year last year, and you paid Titus Howard $18 million a year, and you've got 3 years left on both of those deals. Yeah, I think that's actually a decent comparison. I mean, it's not a perfect comparison, but I think that's a good comparison. It's very similar.
I'm being brainwashed into liking the Penix pick now that I...
Who's done the majority of the brainwashing on you?
CJ Stroud this morning.
Oh, really?
It was one of the things he talked about on the Bleacher Report. About how much he liked Michael Penix. Now, he didn't speak specifically about whether the Falcons should have drafted him with Kirk Cousins there and everything.
Okay.
But there is... What was that? I sent you that thing that Mina Kimes had tweeted, which it was a good argument.
Yeah.
It was not even an argument, because I think she was against the Falcons drafting Penix, but she was like, okay, well, let's see. If you really believe that you should always have... If you should have a really potentially good quarterback laying in wait if you have an older quarterback on the roster. How many teams, if you believe that, how many teams shouldn't have drafted Penix?
That's right. I remember you and I texted you back. I'm like, well, definitely the Texans for sure. And it's nice to be on that list. It's, you know what? I'm going to put that for tomorrow.
It's really pretty much anybody with a young quarterback. You're like, okay, don't bother. But if you're an older quarterback, the problem with the Falcons is that there are a couple things wrong with the Falcons. It's that, one, like, you told Kirk Cousins that... Kirk Cousins came to you thinking, we're going to load up to win a Super Bowl, you know? Like that, and then according to Diana Russini, Kirk Cousins was told that they might use a later round pick on a quarterback. So there's a little bit of a violation of trust there, which is just bad culturally. Like once you lose trust, it's hard to get everything else right. So there's that. The other is that the Falcons were not a team that's like ready made to go win a Super Bowl. No. And so you have the luxury of like, well, yeah, but we got to have a backup quarterback. Just
right. Right. Yeah. They're picking eighth for a reason. Yeah. Every year they're picking eighth. They pick Bijan at eighth. They pick Drake London at eighth. They pick Michael Penick. They pick eighth every year.
And yet Kirk Cousins is coming off an Achilles. So I don't know. I'm starting to come around on it not being the most idiotic thing in the world.
I can't believe that you're being talked into this Michael Penix thing.
No. This is the whole thing, Sean.
Yeah.
It all comes down to it's the explanation was wrong. Mm-hmm. Like when the explanation is off, that's what does. So the explanation that was filtered out to Russini, everything was that like, well, we're going to be so good these next 2 years that we got to be sure we take a QB while we even have an opportunity to do it. Cause that ignores all the various other ways you can go out and get a quarterback. Like how you just went and got Kirk Cousins.
Like signing
Kirk
Cousins.
So the explanation was bunk.
Yep.
If they had come out and said, look, Kirk Cousins is old and he's got an Achilles tendon, we got to be sure that we're covered. Then I'm cool with it.
Do you like Penix as a player? Does that factor into it for you? You know,
I do. I like him as, especially given that he's by reports and by chronology, he's an older and more mature guy.
Yeah.
And because he's multi-talented in terms of how he can get it done and because he is very athletic. So like he can do it from the pocket, but he can also do it on the run. If he has to step in place of Kirk Cousins, that's like, there's nothing that helps a young rookie quarterback better than having legs, you know? So, like, if he's pressed into duty because Kirk Cousins isn't ready, I feel like they can run a lot of that same offense but really accentuate the athleticism of Michael Penix while he learns to play quarterback. So as a backup to a guy that's coming off an Achilles, I think it makes sense.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Charles Barkley has a message for dumbass reporters. Anytime Charles Barkley has a message for anybody, it's good stuff. We've got that for you coming up next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Charles Barkley on the NBA's coverage on TNT. Had some words for dumbass reporters covering the NBA. Here was Charles Barkley last night wagging his fingers at these dumbass reporters.
Also, you said you wanted to say something about coaching.
Yeah, you know, part of our job, we watch all the games and we watch all the talk shows. You know, a lot of these people on television, they're cowards because they want the players to like them. They don't want to do their job, which is to tell the truth. And I just want to say this about coaching. Anybody who thinks the reason the Lakers suck is because of Darvin Ham or the reason the Suns suck is because of Frank Vogel, you don't know what you're talking about. Frank Vogel is a hell of a coach. Darvin Ham is a hell of a coach trying to get his career started. But for all you punks, idiots, and jackasses on other networks who want to be media and who want all the players to like y'all, do your damn job. The Lakers suck, and the Suns suck because of the players. Has nothing to do with the coaches. I feel better now.
Yeah, I can tell. Looks like you are... getting that off your chest.
I did. I hate it, man. You sit there like, Darvin Ham needs to get fired. Frank Vogel needs to get fired. Who put them teams together? Them trash-ass teams put together need to get fired. Them guys, they didn't just all of a sudden suck as coaches. People who put them teams together to get, they start packing up their stuff.
Okay.
It's, it's funny. Is he saying that there is something about the NBA where there's like a player worship thing that's different than any other sport, I think. Like they are, it's people kind of get it stuck in their head that this player is awesome and will always be awesome. And I think that sometimes the front offices succumb to that as well. And the poor coaches are the ones that pay the brunt or that get the brunt of it.
Frank Vogel. When he said Frank Vogel, who's the head coach.
Best coach in the history of coaching.
Phoenix Suns. Well, I'm like, Frank Vogel has coached a lot of teams,
yeah.
And I'm looking at his wiki page right now. He was a Pacers coach for 6 years during that time where the Pacers were like, you know, they were like the number two to the Miami Heat all those years with Hibbert and Paul George and them.
Yeah.
Coached the Orlando Magic for a few years after. He's never been without a job because he went straight from the Pacers to the Orlando Magic, gets fired there after 3 years, goes straight to the Lakers, wins a title in the COVID bubble. And then eventually gets fired because LeBron doesn't want him as the coach anymore. Now he's the head coach of the Phoenix Suns. Frank Vogel's 50, and he's already coached 4 NBA teams. That's a wild back of the basketball card for a coach.
You know, the one I always think about is Scott Brooks. I remember somebody talking about Scott Brooks when he was with the Wizards, and it was in regards to Paul Wall. Not Paul Wall.
John Wall. John Wall.
John Wall. Yeah. No.
Paul Wall's driving around like now, like, what did I do?
It was Scott Brooks when he produced Paul Wall's least successful album. I wanted to blame Scotty Brooks.
That would be a bad album if Scott Brooks were producing it.
But no, it was, I can't even remember. It was positive about John Wall, but it was negative. It was like kind of comparing John Wall to somebody else, but basically in saying everybody was agitating for the Wizards to play a certain style of basketball. But like reading between the lines, the way that like Zach Lowe, it was probably Zach Lowe was talking about it with Scott Brooks. It's that, man, yeah, there's things we really should be doing in terms of who's playing when. But good luck trying to get a guy to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, yeah. Like the NBA, it's as much about massaging relationships and softly convincing somebody to do things a different way than it is about like, this is what we're doing and this is how we're going to do it, you know?
Ime Udoka has had a big effect on my view of coaching in the NBA, just watching the Rockets up close this past year. I was somebody... Yeah. Who for years, and I guess to a degree I still am maybe, because when I hear Barkley sitting here arguing on behalf of Darvin Ham, I'm like, and part of me is like, Darvin Ham, do we even know he's a good coach? But watching these Rockets this year and watching Ime Udoka and the effect he's had on a young team and young players, I was very dismissive of NBA coaches forever. I'm like, it's a players league. I'm not saying these guys don't know basketball, but like the impact that they have on what happens out on the floor, like to me, of the three major sports that we talk about on this show, football a number one, baseball two, basketball three when it comes to impact for head coaching. But Ime Udoka has narrowed the gap between the NBA and the other two sports for me.
I honestly think that where Barkley, if he wasn't ranting, like I think if we were going to have a discussion about this, the way I kind of see it, and I think Barkley might feel this way too, is that the great coaches are genuinely great. And like all those things I talk about with massaging relationships or like understanding, it's just, it's a different type of motivation at the NBA level than it's going to be at every other level of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
But the guys who are really good at it are really good at it. The guys that are really good at just not just coming up with the scheme, but also communicating and taking into account everybody else, everybody's different motivations and everything. But the rank and file coaches are not nearly as much to blame for a team being bad.
Yeah.
That's just like, okay, if you take a rank and file coach and give them a bunch of dudes who are bad dudes or have bad attitudes or just they're too old or they're too young or whatever it might be, then yeah, like don't blame the coach. Like there wasn't going to be even you might put Steve Kerr in with that bunch and they're going to be a mediocre bunch, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
With Silas they'd be even worse than that, but it's just you can only do so much with an inadequate roster.
We're now in an NBA playoff that has no LeBron, no Steph, no Kevin Durant. Like the three biggest stars of the last 10 years in basketball. LeBron was actually asked a couple nights ago when they got eliminated, is this your last game as a Laker?
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that.
That was it. That was the whole answer. Not going
to
answer that.
He probably, you know, these sports where they have to talk to the media every night, it's tough. Like baseball and basketball, they get asked the same questions every night. Like stuff like that that's broadly encompassing and that you're going to take some time. So I would assume that people are reading heavily into that as to whether the way he answered it so quickly either confirms or proves that he either is or is not playing next year.
Well, you know how it goes. Without a definitive answer, it immediately goes to what teams could LeBron go play for next year? Because it doesn't sound like he's for sure coming back to the Lakers now.
Are we at a stage with the departure of all those big names
and
potentially LeBron James that you're talking about?
Yep.
Will there be another level of superstar of, I wouldn't just say like LeBron James, but it even feels like Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, all those guys. They loom larger than life in a lot of ways, in a way that I don't know. Maybe it's because you and I are older now. It just doesn't feel the same way with Doncic or maybe like with Embiid or Jokic or Antetokounmpo. Is that just a reflection of our age?
Here's what I think, Seth. I think the key here is Victor Wembanyama. The key here is Victor Wembanyama, because I think a lot of those guys that you're naming that loom larger than life, LeBron had a gravitational pull on them. The same way Michael Jordan had a gravitational pull on Karl Malone and Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing and guys like that. You need the one to gravitationally pull the other planets towards them. And that's why it's so key for the league that the Spurs get good quick to get
Kyrie
Victor
Irving
Wembanyama.
Rejects that analogy, by the way.
Right. Flat surfaces floating around in the universe.
Pull all these discs together.
Discs, all these frisbees. Yes. But I think that's, to answer your question, like I think the key is Victor Wembanyama to me. Like that's the next chosen one here. And the sooner he can get up to speed. And he's got younger players and even older players. Like, you know, by the time he's good, you know, Doncic might be considered an older player, like late 20s. You know, he got drafted in 2018. They need that one guy to kind of pull the whole thing, is my opinion on that. John Lopez is a basketball aficionado.
I love it.
Curious, you're and a San Antonio native as well.
Yeah, right? Chet in there. I think as much as I hate his commercial. No, come on now. As much as I hate his commercial.
You think Chet's Wembanyama level?
I think he needs to be his.
Oh, he could be one of the rotating planets around Wembanyama.
One of the lieutenants, right?
Yeah.
Because, tall, skinny dudes that are really good.
I just hate that I'm so wrong on him.
I know.
I was so wrong on Chet Holmgren.
He's really, really good.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah.
He's very good.
Yeah, so I totally agree with you. And I think, frankly, as monstrous as LeBron has been, especially in the last 6 or 8 years, he's kind of not lived up to what he was supposed to be for the league.
Well, it's funny, or for the Lakers for that matter.
For the Lakers, but for the league, too.
People
turn up their nose at him or roll their eyes.
In his career here?
True. Yeah, the level of worship. Well, I wonder if that's a part of media saturation, though, too. Like, we didn't know how cringy Michael Jordan could be until after he retired.
Yeah.
You know, because there wasn't that same level of
24/7
coverage all the time. It was easy to build up a myth but without kind of seeing like some of the flaws, where now we see everybody's flaws.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron tweeting, LeBron doing press conferences. Yeah. He's less likable late in his career than he was at his apex.
Yeah.
This is why I'm the Laker LeBron thing, because I actually had that written down too. Like I saw people debating that. Like, has LeBron's stint as a Laker been a success or a failure? Because they won the title, but it was in the bubble.
Yeah.
And then the other seasons, he's missed the playoffs twice, which would be crazy. If you told me LeBron signing with the Lakers.
Think about that, yeah.
And you said he's going to miss the – in the first 5 years he's there, he's going to miss the playoffs. I would have said, no way. No, check this. He's going to miss it twice.
Yeah.
And then he's going to get knocked out in the first round twice. And, by the way, he's going to have Anthony Davis on his team, too, with him, and all this stuff is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been more believable about that. And the reason about the Anthony Davis part, as you know, John, because when – Anthony Davis was first traded there. I had an epic hotkey on your show. Yeah, okay, big deal. I said that. And I've heard it enough times on your show since then. I hate that they won the title in the bubble, because that hotkey would be very valid. You wouldn't be able to play it because it would be validated.
Yeah, exactly.
Man.
You hate the bubble.
I hate the COVID bubble. You think about all the teams. I was thinking about this yesterday, too. All the teams that won COVID titles
were
all goats. Yeah. Brady, COVID title. LeBron, COVID title. Nick Saban, COVID title with Alabama. They only won, like, the Dodgers won it. I don't know that there's a goat on their team, but like it was interesting to me.
Yeah.
You know?
It was interesting. Yeah, and I guess at least with Brady, I mean, the NFL title that year was the least affected. The only thing different about the NFL that year was that they didn't have much of a training camp or off season, and they didn't have much of an off season, and they didn't have fans in the stands.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, it was a pure NFL season. I don't put any kind of qualifiers on that season or championship.
For my narrative, I put qualifiers.
Absolutely,
because
okay,
I'm trying to sound super smart.
We're all about narratives.
Brady, Saban, LeBron, goats.
You know who I support? Me.
Seth, you should know this by now.
You know who
right?
I'm all about? My take. Hey,
Seth, your points are all valid and they're good, but I have my narratives, okay?
Yes, exactly.
All right.
What does your t-shirt say, John?
Port Protection Alaska. It's one of the Nat Geo shows about fishing in Alaska, living off the grid in Alaska.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
It's one of my favorite shows. Port Protection, Life Below Zero.
I've never heard of this
Deadliest
before.
Catch, Wicked Tuna. Those are my top four.
Wicked Tuna.
Wicked Tuna.
I've had some of that
badass.
Before. Yeah.
But Port Protection. You know, Seth, you ought to give it a run. Give it about two or three shows.
I will. Port Protection.
He will,
I liked it enough that I bought a shirt.
He definitely will. Yeah.
That's the name of the show, Port Protection?
Port Protection Alaska.
What's it on? What outlet?
I think it's Nat Geo.
Nat Geo. Oh, okay. Nat,
yeah. Well.
okay.
Is Hulu and Netflix.
YouTube no, not TV. Netflix. Can I get it on YouTube TV?
I believe so, yes.
I didn't know the cool kids called National Geographic Nat Geo.
Yeah, well, you got to get on my level.
Nat Geo. I know. Nat Geo.
National Geographic is one of the only they've successfully done what Sports Illustrated is trying to do. They transitioned out of the paper magazine era into like, oh, wow, they're actually doing successful things. Sports Illustrated is like, I don't know, we could build a hotel.
Right. Yeah,
we're going to
open
know.
Some restaurants. Yeah. All right, we're done. Hi, Landry. How you doing?
I am fantastic.
All right, we're going to hand the baton.
We do an energy drink. Everybody's doing those.
Yeah.
Seltzer water, right? Yeah. A seltzer alcohol.
Right.
Electrolyte water.
Yeah,
30
yeah.
times the electrolytes right here.
Yeah.
See?
Shout out to
Essentia. Sports drink.
$4 a bottle, baby.
There you go. Yeah. There you
actually,
go.
Sports... SI Sports Drink is probably the – I got to call someone.
That's a read.
Okay.
Yeah,
I got an idea.
Yep. Big book of ideas. All right, we're done. We're out of time. You're listening to KLT, KLT HD2, an Odyssey station. Seth, I'll see you tomorrow. Antibodies to you.
Yeah, antibodies and a Feldarius to you.
Thank you. Feldarius pain breakdown's coming tomorrow, baby. All right, we're done.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you.
Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.